Well, hello again. I don't know what's a bigger surprise, the fact that FPL is back already when the World Cup has only just finished, or the fact that, yep, you guessed it, the three of us have been let loose on the FPL pod for another season. It turns out you guys actually, well, someone is listening to us each week. So we are back. There's a few weeks to go, but the game is now live and we have been having a little look. And we're going to give you our first thoughts. Firstly, Sam, Jules, we should say welcome to our new listeners as well. I'm assuming that everyone knows us. But of course, Kelly Summers, joined by Sam Bonfield and Julian Laron. Firstly, Sam, how's your summer been?
Yeah, it's been good, thank you. It's been quite a lot of football for a summer off, hasn't there? So it's been quite busy. But, you know, nonetheless, we're ready to go for another Premier League season now.
How's your bronze medal, Jules? Oh, sorry.
Oh, I mean... Who remembers when you finished third or fourth? But, you know, people remember France won the World Cup in 2018 and 1998, you know, so that's the most important, I guess, Kels. But I did think of you in that game between France and England, or, you know, that basketball match, the all-star game of the World Cup, as I like to call it. The World Cup was great. And I want to say as well, everywhere I went in the US and Canada in this summer, like, I met so many people, fan of the show, fan of FPL, everywhere, like in Toronto, in New York, in Boston.
It was in Boston. Boston, there was loads
Boston,
of them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, in Toronto as well, it was incredible. So, you know, big shout out to everybody that I met and discussed FPL with during the World Cup, because that was really cool. And yeah, it's great because it shows the game is doing so well all around the world.
I just interviewed Stormzy Pitchside and someone shouted at me. And I was like, oh, it's going to be something related to that. Love the FPL pod. And like, it was such a weird, at that moment where you're doing something completely different, I was like, oh, thanks. I'm not really thinking about that by now, but yeah, see you next season. But yeah, anyway, myself and Jules have of course been away. I literally got back, we're recording this a bit earlier in the week, and I literally got back a few hours ago. So if my maths and my common sense is even worse than usual, please let me off. I've not slept for 48 hours. Thanks. That's actually thanks to England going to that game in Miami, because then I had to go straight to New York. Anyway, very lucky to do the job we do and very lucky to be back. Also, great to see a few FPL players, or loads of FPL players, didn't we? And I know there was a lot of you, Sam, playing the fantasy game during the World Cup as well. So it hasn't stopped for a lot of you, but great to see fantasy players doing really well. We saw a lot of them on the world stage, and there were 7 Premier League players from Spain, wasn't there? So yeah, I'm wondering, before we go any further on this, if we also need to bear in mind the World Cup, Sam, when we are starting our chat and starting our selections, because we've picked a team, and actually there was a couple of players that I put straight in and then took straight back out because I thought, oh, they've played quite a lot. They're not having a very big break.
No, and they're entitled to a break. So they'll go off and have a little bit of a break and they'll join pre-season late. So obviously that will have an impact, particularly the ones that played with the 4 teams that competed at the weekend. So obviously the Spaniards and the Argentinians and the French and the English. Those players have gone longer in the tournament than anybody else. They'll go back later than anyone else to their Premier League teams. And that might have an impact on the players that you want to select, not just in terms of them, but whether you want to select the people that might play instead of them in the early weeks of the season, because that might just cause you a headache a couple of weeks down the line where you've got to take them out and swap them back over again. So it is just something to consider. We saw it after the Euros a couple of years ago that we had a bit of rotation in those early weeks as players kind of were eased back in a little bit more and were getting back up to full speed ahead of the new season. So yeah, something definitely to be mindful of picking your first team of the season in FPL.
I'm very aware that if you are listening to this right now, all you probably want to do is hear our teams, hear a bit more about the prices and everything. But before we do that, Jules, it would be remiss of us not to ask who kind of caught your eye from the Premier League players at the World Cup? Because conversely to what Sam said then, yes, we need to bear in mind tiredness, but also some of that form could kind of run into the new season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and as we said, there was a lot of players from the Premier League playing with their countries at the World Cup. Obviously, the Spanish team won, and well done to Spain. Well done to players like Pedro Porro, who was outstanding, I thought, through the whole tournament.
From a relegation battle to that.
Exactly. It's, you know, scoring against my beloved France in the semis as well, a lovely goal. I mean, we lost Cucurella, who's going back to Spain, obviously, so won't be playing in the Prem in our FPL team next season. But player like Rodri, player of the tournament, and well-deserved as well, who was outstanding all along with Spain. I thought Youri Tielemans did really well, for example, with Belgium. I thought Erling Haaland did obviously really well with Norway, apart from maybe the England game in the quarterfinals, but up to that point for his first World Cup, that was very conclusive. I think Martin Odegaard did well too. Florian Wirtz, in a very difficult time with Germany, I think still showed his talent. We saw good Munoz with Colombia, Ismaïla Sarr with Senegal, although their teams were in the end maybe not, didn't go as far as they would have hoped so. Same with Brazil and Bruno Guimarães, for example. And some new faces that we will have in the Premier League, like Johan Manzambi, who had a really good tournament with Switzerland before getting injured and before signing for Aston Villa as well. So I thought overall, the Premier League did really well in terms of the players representing them at the World Cup.
You know, I love chipping in with my England contributions here, but I think all of England's goal scorers pretty much don't play in the Premier League, do they? So that was absolutely useless to us in FPL. Was it Jude Bellingham, Harry Kane, Marcus Rashford? Oh, Marcus Rashford could be back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All of a sudden, we are counting the bronze game. I forgot.
Of course. Kylian Mbappe won the golden boot like that, you know? So, yeah,
well, early spoiler, actually, that hat trick might have had an input into my team because he says he's fit. He said it to me after that game. So anyway, let's move on then because we have seen the prices. I reckon a lot of people might have actually skipped to this point to ignore our World Cup waffle. This is where it gets real, isn't it? This is where the fun begins. We've seen the prices. We're able to build our teams. And my gosh, Sam, it is hard. I always do premiums first. I did that and then I had no money left.
I feel like that's always what you do though, Kels, isn't it? You do
that's
your
more, no,
first.
That's more of a Jules move than me though, in terms of like all of the money on the good players and then the £3 million bench. That's a very Jules move.
Absolutely. You know, I like big brands.
I also think it's hard, isn't it? Because you go back to kind of the last thing that you knew when it comes to picking an FPL team. So you automatically go, well, these players were great for me last season. And of course, the players that were great last season are the ones that take price rises for the new season. So it is hard because you look at it and you go, well, last season I owned all of these players in a team and it was lovely. And I had, you know, all of these decent premium options. And then this year you look at them and go, oh, they're slightly more expensive this year. So that's affecting the way that the rest of my team looks. And of course, some of them have changed clubs. Some of them have changed positions, so that has an impact too. So yes, it is definitely hard. I'm the same, Kels. I put in some premiums and then I work around the edges and see where we go. And I take players in and out. And I think with my first draft, I was try and just hit price points. That for me is the most important thing. Try and hit some price points because I know that I won't get everything right in this first draft. And I certainly won't get everything right in the game week one team. So I need to have flexibility in that squad that I can move around. And if you hit the price points nicely, then it gives you the flexibility to be able to do that.
Jules, did you do premiums first? Who were the first names on your team sheet?
Erling Haaland and Bukayo Saka then, and then Gabriel. So I did like, you know, all
you did Gabriel. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's a price. Oh, he's expensive.
Yeah, it is expensive. Can we reveal how much Gabriel is now? Are we allowed? Yeah.
Yes,
is
yeah, yeah.
Eight million, if I'm not mistaken. Obviously, the most expensive of all defenders. And let's not forget, he will be without William Saliba for certainly the start of the season. And then we're not really sure exactly for how long. And I think what made Gabriel very good as well was the association with Saliba at centre-back for Arsenal. Gabriel with, I don't know, Mosquera, Gabriel with Timber, Gabriel with Incapié, whoever is the new partner for Gabriel at the start of the season for Arsenal might impact a bit his form, but I still think that he's the best defender in the league with Saliba and Saliba not being there. If you can afford Gabriel also for the attacking threat that we expect will still be there from an Arsenal point of view, I think if you can afford him, then he has a place in your team or should have.
I guess that this is where we're going to differ slightly, isn't it? Because obviously Bruno was the first name in my team sheet, which then means you have to make compromises somewhere, don't you? So Sam, you want me to run through, me and Jules are just itching to get into our teams and to talk about.
We can do the changes afterwards. We can do the teams first if you want, and we can do the changes afterwards.
Okay, thanks. Feels like, there's the school teacher in Sam sometimes. Actually, no, I'll do the right thing and I'll do the changes. Okay. So this, you can skip.
There's not as many
this
year, to be fair.
No, I don't want to say it's boring. It's not boring because you need to know it to play the game, but there's not like last year, there was a lot more headlines, but probably is worth listening to this bit just to make sure you are across everything so you don't get caught out. But I am going to be reading off a script. So sorry about that because I don't want to get it wrong. So there's going to be two sets of chips again. That's the good news. That was brilliant, wasn't it? There's one to use in the first half of the season and a second set for the second half of the season. The chips are going to remain exactly the same. So you're still going to have your bench boost, triple caps and free hit chips, as well as your wild card. there's loads of there's loads of videos, by the way, on social media as well, if you do want to check out a little bit more about that. I really liked, actually, I'll come on to that one in a bit. I'm like an overexcited child, sorry. The first one then, live updates. This is one I'm excited about, actually. This season, your FPL rank and league positions will actually update in real time. And I know that this is something that really annoys managers, having to wait after the game to find out about bonus points and things. So literally, if a player scores, you can go on and check it out. It'll be reflected in your total points and in your league positions. Of course, the worst thing about that, though, is if they lose those bonus points, don't get carried away, because they will get knocked off. The game will also update at 9 a.m. the morning after the final fixture of the game week. So we have clarity. We know when we can look. There's no refreshing loads. Go on at 9 a.m. after the final fixture of the game week. So like in game week 38 last season, all of the fixtures will have time for a final up-to-date review to make sure it's accurate. This used to happen 1 hour after the final match of the game week, but now it's going to be 9 a.m. It just means that all matches will have time to ensure that BPS and defensive contribution points are accurately accounted for. So yeah, check out the video that FPL have put out on X. It's really useful, will really help you. And that's what I was getting excited about before. Changes to the bonus point system then. And apologies, I really am going to read off a script because otherwise I will get this wrong. So firstly, clearances, blocks and interceptions will have less impact in the BPS, the bonus point system. Last season, there were 112 occasions where defenders earned bonus points and defensive contribution points, often because clearances, blocks and interceptions contributed strongly to both. The changes in the system will make this fairer to all defenders as well, while centre-backs might be slightly less likely to get bonus points simply from clean sheet defensive volume, making the fullbacks and goalies more competitive for bonus points. I like that because I felt last year like it was a bit too heavily weighted towards the centre-backs. That makes it a bit better in my opinion. Secondly, that wasn't on the script, that's just my opinion. Secondly, goalkeepers will receive extra recognition for saves from big chances this season, and the saves metric has been restored to the BPS to ensure that goalkeepers do get credit for some saves that are made without a shot being taken. Thirdly, the being tackled penalty has been removed so that the attacking fullbacks and flair players should benefit in the BPS. Again, I think that's a really good addition. Let's be honest, we just want to get onto the price in our teams, don't we? So let's rattle through that. Go to the fantasy website to read more about the exact bonus points and how you can get them. Third thing, though, is the price change predictor. And I know there's going to be a lot of excitement behind this, because before we'd have to stay up late and you'd kind of have to hope, and you'd be looking at transfers in or transfers out to try and work out if your players were going to go up or down. Now, the game will actually have a page dedicated to price changes. It's going to be on the app and website once game week one gets underway. Player prices will also change at midnight UK time. So we know a definitive time when, if you're thinking about making a move and are worried about the price changing, that's when you need to do it by. This page will show current progress towards a price change displayed as a percentage. Now, player profiles will also show status messages if a player is likely or very likely to change in price by midnight that day. The data will always be a guide and doesn't guarantee a price change, but nonetheless, still really helpful. There's another really good video on X as well, if you want to check that out. And then new UI overviews. FPL are also changing up how the game looks. You're going to have a UI selector to allow managers to move between the pick team points and transfers pages. They will also give you both the pitch and list views. The initial views include the FDR, ownership and form. Others, including the price change prediction, will be added once game week one is underway. More info. I'm not going to read everything on this script because Sam's gone into so much detail. It's incredible. But I'm just going to stumble over it, and we want to get onto teams. And position change players, by the way, there's quite a few on here. Sam, do you want to pick out the headlines?
Yeah, there's three probably that are going to have relatively possibly big impact on the game. Mostly Krupe Jr. He is no longer a forward in the game. He'll now be a midfielder. That's because he featured mostly as a number 10 last year behind Evan Nilsson. And actually, when you look at that in comparison to midfielders from last season, in his 33 appearance years, he averaged 134 minutes per goal, which is 50 minutes quicker than Semenyo, who was the top averaging midfielder for goals last season with 188.2. So it makes sense that he would be a midfielder if he's going to play in the 10. Dorgu, he played all three of the games he featured under Carrick in the left wing position. So makes sense for him to move from defender to midfielder. And then Marmoush was mostly used as a forward under Pep last season, so he'll be moving from a midfielder to a forward for this year. There are others, but I think they're less likely to find their way into your FPL teams.
Okay. Yeah, I think they're the headlines. Krupe Jr. was a big one. I know that caught a lot of people's attentions. Okay, then here's the good bit. Let's go on to our teams. I mean, I'm going to be honest, my team is so unbalanced. I'm probably 0.5 short at the moment, to be honest, because it's really, really tough. And it's going to make for a good game because you can't have all the premiums. But let's start in goal. Jules.
Yeah. I've decided to go for Gigi Donnarumma at 5.5 because I've decided not to have any other Manchester City defender for the moment. Donnarumma obviously had the summer off, as you know, because Italy didn't qualify for the World Cup again. And I expect Maresca to make his team more solid defensively than Pep, certainly less attacking, let's say, than Guardiola, probably a bit more balanced in a way. And we are waiting to see what Maresca does with City. They haven't played a friendly yet either, for example. But considering what Maresca has done previously in his career, I wouldn't be surprised if this City team, which will obviously be very different to the Guardiola team of the last 10 years or so, would maybe be a bit more defensive. So I fancy a lot of City defensive assets, especially Donnarumma. I think at 5.5 is a decent price for the second most expensive goalkeeper, the number one being Raya, obviously, at 6 million. So I felt Donnarumma was a good pick there. And then I've gone for a much cheaper goalkeeper, which I hope he will be cheaper because the transfer has only been announced today by Ipswich Town. It's for Kane Van Heuvelen, who was he's a young goalkeeper from the Netherlands. He was good with Volendam last season. He's super tall, 2 meters, very, very promising. And I'm hoping that he will be priced around the 4.5 million. He should be the starter for Ipswich. And I expect him to have a similar impact than Roofs had with Sunderland last season, certainly in my head. That's the case. So I think a Donnarumma Van Heuvelen kind of combo looks decent to me on paper.
Makes a lot of sense. Sam, favourite position?
Well, my favourite position. And I, of course, faffed around this position for ages because part of me wanted to just go for Raya. But then, as Jules mentioned earlier, with Saliba potentially missing however long of the season, what does that mean for clean sheets at Arsenal? And if I want to go for a certain other Arsenal defender, do I really want the double up straight away when I'm not really sure about how that might look? Maybe not. So I decided that I'd go with rotating 4.5s because that felt like the safest way to start the season. So I looked for clubs that had good rotation and landed on Kinski at Spurs, who I'm expecting to be the number one this season.
Well, that was my question because I was wondering who the Spurs, when I looked, I was weirdly tempted by a Spurs goalkeeper, but who is going to be the number one?
I think it will be Kinski. He's doing all of the promos and stuff for the start of the new season. I'm expecting it to be him. He was De Zerbi's number one at the back end of last season, even when Vicario was fit and available. So I'm expecting it to be Kinski. If we see something different in pre-season, then it's easy to move across to Vicario because they're priced at the same 4.5 price. So it's relatively easy, but I do expect it to be Kinski. And then I was looking for a club that rotated nicely with Spurs in the opening weeks of the season and landed on Coventry. They rotate quite nicely with each other. Now, at the minute, the Coventry goalkeeper from last season, Rushworth, is still a Brighton player because he was only on loan there last season. I'm hoping that he's going to get a move back to Coventry because in his 46 appearances last season, he averaged 2.7 saves per game and he kept 17 clean sheets. So if he goes back there, then I'll probably end up with those two as a rotating combo to start the season.
Okay. Well, I had Saliba in my defence, but then obviously I realised that was stupid because he's not going to play. So I then went to Raya, but I really don't like having expensive goalkeepers. I never, ever do it. It's never my strategy. So I've at the moment just gone, but I need to look into, like I said, just landed this morning, guys, bear with me. I need to look into rotating 4.5s or a 4.5 and their backup goalkeeper. So at the moment, I've just gone with what we knew from last season in terms of I've got Verbruggen and Petrovic. Not set on either, to be honest, but that's the price point that I want in goal and it enables me to do the rest of my team.
I do quite like Manchester United's Le Mans as well at 5. Really good fixtures to start the season for them.
Not too expensive either, is he?
Yeah, so I do quite like him as an option if you do want to go a little bit more than 4.5, but you don't want to pay premium prices.
Yeah, that's a really good shout actually. Didn't think of that. Okay then, let's go in defence. So Jules, you've gone Gabriel.
I've gone for Gabriel, yeah. I just think even at 8 million is worth it.
Sam, have you gone there?
I have gone there. Yeah, I have. Because I kind of think that like I said earlier, with price points, I want to start the season with him. Now, we'll see a lot about Arsenal and what might happen in terms of what do we find out about Saliba's injury and how long-term that might be. What might the Arsenal defence look like otherwise? Is Timber okay having missed the World Cup? Will he start alongside Gabriel if Saliba's not there? Will they sign somebody new? Will Mosquera and Hincapie? Will one of them? I think there's a lot of uncertainty, but I know that I don't want to start the season without an Arsenal defender. So I figured the best route to do that is to have Gabrielle and know that it's very easy to then drop down in price rather than trying to find the money to get back up to Gabrielle.
Brilliant. That scared me loads. Who are the rest of your defenders?
So Liverpool are top of the fixture ticker for the start of the season. Virgil's too expensive for me to afford right now. So I've gone for Kerkez on the basis that there's no Robertson. Tsimikas is back from his loan move. So maybe there's a little bit of issue there. But hopefully he'll be first choice. I might still find a million. And if I find a million, I'll go up to Virgil. But Kerkez for now. I've got Mitchell at Crystal Palace. I would ideally have liked Daniel Munoz, but I can't quite justify the extra million, especially as Munoz, I actually only outscored Mitchell by 1 point last season.
I think 4.5 million is good value for Mitchell, to be honest.
I agree. Yeah. And you know, Crystal Palace are one of these clubs that have got a new manager this season. There seems to be hundreds of them with new managers. So we're going to see how they set up and how they play and how things change. But I do like Mitchell at 4.5. Yes. Okay. You don't have the attacking threat that you do from Munoz, but I like him. I wanted a 5 million defender. It's tough in the 5 million bracket because there's a lot of the ones that were really good for DEFCON last year have risen above that. Van Heck was good for DEFCON at Brighton. Will he be at Spurs? I don't know. Do I want Van Heck and Kinski? I don't think so. But right now, I settled on him as he's a decent five. Let's watch Spurs in pre-season because if he is still doing the DEFCON stuff that we were seeing at Brighton, maybe I want him over Kinski and maybe it changes my goalkeeper structure. And then Kels, do you remember a couple of years ago, my cheap defender of obsession? Do you remember who it was?
You have quite a lot of obsessions.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
Too many.
It was Leif Davis, if you recall. Is now back in the league. Now, to be honest, this position could be any 4.0 defender. I'll be keeping a close eye because last year it was the Sunderland boys, wasn't it? It was like, okay, well, let's go in on Sunderland. I'll be looking for a newly promoted 4.0, one that hopefully hits some attacking threat and has DEFCON potential. That's kind of where I'll be looking. So at the minute, it's Leif Davis just because I know what I'm getting with him, but I'd probably prefer a centre back from one of those clubs. So I'll kind of watch pre-season carefully to decide on them.
Jules?
Yeah, I've got a very strong defence. I don't know why, but it's
shocked that you say that.
On top of Gabriel. No, it's true. I've gone for Munoz because I think he had a really good World Cup and I think he will do really well under Pierre Sage, who is the new Crystal Palace manager, who plays with wing-backs as well, who puts a lot of importance about his wing-backs. Certainly, that's what he did in France last season. So I expect, Mitchell is a really good shout too, but I expect both Munoz and Mitchell to be very good in the Pierre Sage system. And like Sam said, there's 8 new managers out of the 20 clubs in the Premier League, even 9 if you count the Zerbi, who really only had 5 games last season. So he's not technically a new manager for the season, but nine is almost half of them. So Bournemouth, Chelsea, Palace, Fulham, Ipswich, Liverpool, City, Forest, and then maybe Tottenham if you want to include the Zerbi in that, which means a lot of uncertainties too on how they will do and how they will play. And we don't know yet because a lot of teams haven't played any preseason matches yet. But I can tell you that Pierre Sage certainly will put a lot of importance on the 2 wing backs. So Mitchell and Munoz, I think, are a really good pick at this stage. Then I've gone for Van Heke too, because I think he's going to do really well at Spurs. I agree with Sam on that. I went for Jeremy Jacquet at Liverpool because Liverpool are top of the, the whatever it's called, FDR. And because I think Jacquet is an outstanding talent. So if you can't afford Virgil, but you have 5 million for Jacquet, who now that obviously Konate has left, I expect him to start if he's fully fit. To start the season for Liverpool, I think he can have a really good impact. And my other 5 million defender is Vuskovic at Brighton, who I watched a lot at Hamburg last season on loan from Spurs. I still don't understand how Spurs, even at that price, let him go. But I think he's a great signing for Brighton. He scored some incredible goals last year for Hamburg too. So he's a threat attacking-wise and he's a super solid defender. So I know Ötzler's teams at Brighton have been, historically quite attacking and a bit unbalanced and conceded goals and things, but I still think Vuskovic could be a really good addition. And you don't have to start him every time. Just pick the fixtures. But I think a 5 million is good value for money.
I'm intrigued.
Very expensive defence, that is.
Yeah, it is.
And you've got to bench some of them every week.
Yeah, but that's fine. It's not
don't worry, I can balance it out with my really cheap defence.
Come on then, Kels.
So, I'd like to point out that, again, a lot of these are holding positions, because I find it so hard when we're just off the back of a World Cup and when we haven't seen any pre-season, because throw in this season, the new managers thing. Like, it feels like even the ones, and it just feels like a lot of big players have moved clubs as well. Like, you're looking at your Senesis, your Van Hecks, like players like that, that you would have just put in because they've been great for their previous clubs. And there's a bit of like uncertainty. So I don't have an Arsenal defender. I didn't. So I've just got a holding Calafiori at the moment, just 5.5. There's news, isn't there, today, we're recording on Tuesday, of that Ben White and Timber, I think, are okay at the moment. So I think it will just be a case of keeping an eye on. I can't get to 8 million for Gabriel. So I need to work out which Arsenal defender that will be. I've got Mitchell, as I said. I've got Nico O'Reilly, but I want to see what is going to happen with him, what position he's going to play, where he's going to line up. I think I put him in early. It's the England bias. He's a nice kid. I just wanted him in, but he's 6.5 million. I could get Mark Gahey in, who's a bit cheaper if I want City good defensive cover. So he's in there, but that's probably going to go down. I've also got Andy Robertson, because he's 4.5 million. And I think that's really good value. Sam, do you think he'll start?
I think he will.
I don't know. It's really hard to know what's going to happen down that side, because there's three of them that could effectively play on that side.
My theory is that he left Liverpool to play football. He won't have gone there. Do you know what I mean? All it's going to take is two Spurs pre-season games for him not to start, and me to just be like, see you later.
Yeah. I mean, Spurs play their first pre-season game on Wednesday. So after we've recorded this, but before this podcast goes out, so we'll get a feel for what they're looking like at that point and who's playing where. Obviously, I'll be keeping a close eye on Spurs in pre-season. If he regularly starts, he's going to be a great option, particularly as the others are so much more expensive, because everyone else is coming in at least 5. Senesi's obviously coming in at 6. It's why I like the Kinski pick as well, because it's slightly cheaper. So yeah, I mean, if he starts regularly, he's a decent option. The thing is, he didn't start regularly at Liverpool last season. Was that because they just didn't start him regularly, or was that because he's not? I mean, Spurs have got less fixtures this season, right? They're not going to be competing on multiple fronts. So maybe that's helpful.
Yeah, so basically my defence, I know that I've got Weaver? I never know. At Brighton. Just again, I want a Brighton defender. I like having a Brighton defender. So I've almost got in fact, every single player in my defence is pretty much a holding position at the moment and could go up or down.
That's great. Thank you. So, you're really helping the players.
But I think it is, because I think a lot of people are going to be having similar dilemmas to this. And we're talking about teams that we're all going to be targeting. And we're all still in the same boat, aren't we, in terms of working out who's going to play. I admit I'm a little less decisive than you two on this, but that's my role on this show, right? Let's go into the midfield. I think Mitchell will stay the same out of those 5, by the way.
I mean, your defense is definitely an Aldi defense. Mine is Marks & Spencer, and Sam is in between, you know, like Central. Other providers, other supermarkets are available.
I guarantee you, though, Jules, next time we come back, she'll have found a way to get Gabrielle in, because she'll have panicked at the end of this podcast.
I could see on her face already.
Sam, when you've seen my attack, you'll understand why I can't. And it's a lot of money to find, considering my next most expensive defender is Nico O'Reilly at 6.5. Is all I'm saying. Let's go into midfield, please. Let's come away from my defense. Go on, Jules, you go first. I can't remember who went first last time.
Let Jules.
Yeah, I mean, Bukayo Saka is my premium in midfield at 9.5 already. I think that's expensive. And certainly I could not get Bruno at 12 million with what I'm trying to do with the rest of the team. And I was disappointed by Bruno in the World Cup. I don't think this is only on him anyway, to be fair. And let's not go into the issues and troubles that Portugal had during that World Cup. But I'm just not sure in what kind of form Bruno will be at the start of the season. That's it. And I'm happy to not have him straight away and wait and see. And if he hits the ground running straight away under Carrick and United do so, then so be it. I can find a way. But I think I like Saka's performance against France, obviously. But then again, I would have scored a hat-trick against, I guess, my own team, seeing how badly they defended in that first half. But I think Saka will be fit at the start of the season. He might miss the first game or so, because as we've been saying, he went fine in the World Cup. You need 3 to 4 weeks between your holidays.
He had his rest against Argentina, Jules. Let's not go there, though.
Yeah, true. Absolutely. But still, you know, so I'm not sure if he will be ready for the start of the season. He might miss the Community Shield, for example. Let's see. But I've got Saka in there. I've got Morgan Rogers obviously, who is 7.5 million.
I can't quite get him. And that's annoying me because I want him.
I know. I think he's going to be outstanding for Chelsea. And it's not our role on this show to debate about, you know, how much they paid for him, et cetera, et cetera. But I think he's going to be amazing for Xabi Alonso. If we get a similar system than what Xabi Alonso played at Bayer Leverkusen, just imagine Cole Palmer and Morgan Rodgers together as the two tens behind a nine in that Chelsea system. I think there could be fireworks there. So I'm really tempted by Rodgers right now. I've got Iliman Ndiaye because I think a 6 million is great value for money. And he had a really good season with Everton last year, despite going away for AFCON. And I think, again, if he can be consistent, I think there's promises there for me. And then I went for Ryu and Gumowa because I do think that Iraola and Laxlot will trust him more, and we will get to see him a lot for Liverpool. And at 6 million, I know it's a bit of a gamble because it's a bit expensive if he doesn't play, but then again, you can change him. And then my last one is a 5 million one. I went for Angulo at Sunderland because I think he had a decent World Cup, and I think he will come back like full of confidence and momentum, and will maybe cement more of a starting role at Sunderland than he did in the 6 months that he had last season after he arrived in January.
Okay. That seems weirdly quite balanced considering you've got such an expensive defence.
It's all about vision, you know, talent and...
It's only taking 30 and planning. Minutes for you to
and
mention.
Planning.
Go on, Sam, who have you got?
I'm not comfortable starting the season without Bruno Fernandes, despite what we saw at the World Cup. And I think it goes back to the price points thing. Like, for me, being able to get to him is really hard. I did think about having Cole Palmer instead. He's had the summer off. I quite like the idea of having players that have had the summer off entirely. So did think about that instead. But in reality, I think it's going to be very difficult to get from 9.5 to 12 quickly at the start of the season if Bruno kicks off. And that worries me. So I'm going to start with Bruno. I've also gone for Dom Szoboszlai, who was fantastic for me in chunks of last season.
I've got him as well. That's two midfielders.
I just really like him. He's had the summer off. No World Cup for Szoboszlai. I think it's a really good price point. The fixtures are fantastic for Liverpool. So I just think he looks like a really good option. I wanted Morgan Rodgers and I tried so hard to find a million. And the only way I could find a million is to take down Gabriel, which I wasn't quite prepared to do just now for this draft. So right now I needed a 6.5 million midfielder. So I'm on Elliot Anderson at the minute. I don't know whether Elliot Anderson is going to be the same player for Manchester City that we had for Nottingham Forest. Like, he was so good for us in FPL last year because of the role that he played in that Nottingham Forest team. Is he going to play the same role and do the same things for City? I don't know. It remains to be seen. And of course, we won't see that.
I don't think he will.
Because I don't think he will either. And if I can find a million, he'll become Morgan Rodgers. But now, I'm on him.
He's one of my... I mean, we know I love the England players, but he was an under... I mean, aside from probably the goals against Argentina, I thought he was exceptional this tournament. He was everywhere. But I watched him and thought, you're not an FPL player. You don't take enough shots. And like you said, it depends on, do you know what I mean? He's not advanced enough. He's box to box, but it depends what role. I don't know what Jules thinks about what role he's going to play.
That's the thing, we don't know yet. And in the same way, is Rodri going to be the same with City at the start of the season than he was with Spain in this World Cup? What is Maresca going to do with two midfielders, maybe three? We don't know yet the system that City will play. So I think it's really hard. Unless you're a City defender or Erling Haaland, basically. For the rest, and I guess Doku, who is probably guaranteed to start under Maresca, regardless of the system, you would think. I think it's really hard, especially for those positions like Anderson, like Rodri, those kind of guys, to know exactly what the City team is going to look like. So I think there's, for people to keep him in mind for sure, at 6.5 is decent value for money again, but I would wait a little bit longer and have a bit of a taste of what Maresca is going to do before making a decision.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And then I needed a 6 million, so I'm currently on Fernandes. He's going to be attacking for Spurs. I'm going to have to see what that team looks like. How far away is
Kudus? You've got about 14 Spurs players in your team.
Just the three, all three of them.
Of course, what a surprise.
And Madders. Kudus and Madders are both interesting at 6.5, both of them, depending upon where we are in terms of fitness levels towards the start of the season. Spurs feel very difficult because there's been so many incomings. Knowing who's starting where and what that looks like under De Zerbi feels tough. So preseason will be important. And then I needed a cheap option. So I've gone with Matt Grimes. I think in this position, we need to look for the player that could potentially be the next Elliot Anderson, the one that we can rely on to play and bring in DEFCON and all of that good stuff. So Grimes started every game for Coventry in the Championship last season. He scored a couple of goals, got a couple of assists. He also made 201 defensive contributions and he made 238 recoveries. All of those contribute to the defensive contribution system. I think he might be a decent option at a cheap price point. So I've got him for now.
I'm going to have to play a Christmas tree formation because of the way my budget is. I mean, the more I think about it, Bukayo Saka probably won't end up being Bukayo Saka in the end in my team because I can't. So my three starting midfielders.
You've got Bruno and Saka?
Yeah. They were the first two in my team with Haaland. And then I went, oh my bleep, I can't afford anyone else. So they're all still there, which is why my team is so lopsided. So yeah, Saka will come down. But at one point, I didn't have a single Arsenal player in my team. I cannot work out Arsenal. Arsenal were the one because
I can't... That was risky.
No, but that's why I have Saka at them. And well, now I've got Saka and Calafiori. And I don't think I want either, but it's... I don't know. My brain's still mush from this World Cup. I definitely want Szoboszlai and I want Bruno Fernandes. And then really, I should probably be sensible and think, well, I can move Bruno down to Saka if I need to. Because at the moment, I've got two 4.5 million midfielders that are just going to sit on my bench the whole time. So that's not actually going to happen, is it? So I've done this team like a kid in a sweet shop, basically, and used all my money on the really good sweets. And then, so yeah, it's not really very serious, is it? I'm glad you two have taken this more seriously than me. So yeah, I think that just shows how the pricing is so interesting with FPL this year because you just can't have them all. You can have one premium midfielder, one premium forward. And then if you have the premium defender as well, it's tough. It is still tough.
It's compromises.
Yeah, lots of compromises. So yeah, let's move on. Forwards, I'll say, no, I'm not going to say mine first actually. Go on, whoever. Sam, you go.
Haaland, Ovs. I can't see how you cannot have him, to be honest. Then I struggled because at this point I've spent a lot of money across the rest of my team and I was like,
welcome to my world.
A bit of a problem. And I was like, where's Creepy when you need him? That was kind of where I was. I was like, where's my player from last season that's basically Creepy? And I wanted to find 7.5 because if I didn't have Morgan Rogers, I was thinking, well, if I can find 7.5, I could have João Pedro and maybe that's okay as a compromise for the midfielder bits. But I couldn't quite get there. So at the moment, I've got Mateta. I do like the Palace fixtures. We'll have to just see what happens with him. I'm not sold on it though. It's a budget thing. I think of the 6.5s, he's probably the best one. And that's where I am. And then I've got Ollie McBurnie, who is in at 5.5. He got 18 goals and 8 assists last season in his 40 games. He's clearly not going to be the same in the Premier League. I would prefer for him to be almost, it might end up being that I burn that slot and it becomes a burner slot to enable the midfield. Because if I can put a 4.5 in there, then I can get Morgan Rogers instead of Elliot Anderson and I can keep Gabriel. Maybe that's a better option. I just don't like starting the season with a burner, particularly if I might bench boost game week one.
Oh, wow. Okay. Jules, who have you gone?
So I've gone for Haaland, obviously, like you two. Then...
Is there any world where we can't have Haaland or do we just have to have him? Because he's expensive again.
I mean, the only way is because we know that because of his holidays and because Norway went to the quarterfinals of the World Cup, that he might miss the first, I don't know, two games of the season, for example, and then... If you want for those two games, you can have somebody else. And then a bit like Sam just said, you wildcard in game week three to bring Haaland in. And then by then, maybe Bruno has had two really good games for United. And like me, you didn't have him. So you can bring him in if you play your wildcard then. But if Haaland starts the season, if he's okay to start the season, I think it's very difficult not to start with him.
Mm. Okay, go on. Who else have you got, Jules?
So Haaland first, then Benjamin Sesko, because I think he had good momentum at times after Carrick arrived last season, and I can see him having a very good season this year. I know United will obviously have to play in the Champions League now, so very different to the rhythm they had last year when Carrick took over. But I really love the Bruno-Sesko like combo as a 10 and as a 9. And I think Sesko just needed a season to understand what the Premier League was about, to understand what United was as a club, and he had a difficult first 6 months because of who was in charge at the time. Got much better after that, even if he still looked like a streaky striker for now with really good periods and maybe times where he's not as good. I think at 7 million, compared to the price of others, like I see Isak at 9 million, and I thought Isak at times looked sharp in the World Cup until they were knocked out. But there were games and times where I thought, okay, Isak will be back to his best very soon. 9 million right now for Isak feels like a massive gamble, even to me who loves a gamble, as you know. I think Sesko at 7 for a second really good striker with Haaland, I didn't look good to me. Even if he's got a yellow flag, I think that would be gone by the time the season starts. And then my third forward is at 5 million is Brandon Thomas Asante at Coventry.
Because, I've got him as well.
Yeah, I thought he should have played more with Ghana at the World Cup. I mean, I didn't like the Ghana head coach. And again, it's not one enough for that show. Didn't understand. When he came on, he set up a goal in their win against Panama. So he was one of the best players in the championship last season. I agree with what Sam said earlier about Grimes on how difficult it is to step up from the championship to the Premier League. And I usually don't like getting players from new promoted sides into the Prem in the team because you just never know. I think Sunderland was a wonderful accident in that sense last season. But I went for him because I think, okay, they start with Arsenal away, so that's not going to happen. He's going to sit on the bench. But then they've got Hull at home for Coventry, which I think could be good, and then you can play him. Then they go away to City, so you bench him again. But there might be games where, towards the start of the season, where a player like Thomas Asante is really good for you, and actually Coventry are decent too. So, yeah.
Yeah, he was my biggest shock. I've got no money, so I need a third choice that isn't going to start. I've gone Haaland and Pedro. Pedro was one of the first names in there as well, because I think 7.5 million, he didn't go to the World Cup, which, I mean, looking at how Brazil did at the World Cup as well, looks an even more wild decision now. New manager, I just think I say that I haven't got a Chelsea player. However, I've just been tinkering. So as it stands, I've got Pedro, Thomas Asante, Haaland. But I then looked and thought, if I did Saka down to Rodgers, which feels a little bit more sensible, I've then got 2 million to play with. So I can all of a sudden actually get some decent midfielders.
Do you want Rodgers and João Pedro though?
But that's what I mean. So then I could maybe take down João Pedro down. But I think the strike forwards are really hard again. I don't,
because Thiago feels good, but it's expensive this year at 8. Like, it feels too.
And I just wonder, can he have a season like that again? Yeah.
Yeah. And the World Cup.
And there's a lot of forwards. There's a lot of forwards that you look at, and I think, can Welbeck produce the season of his life like that again? Can Calvert-Lewin produce a season of his life like that again? So I think the forwards are really hard, and that's why actually going Haaland and Pedro straight away was like, I'm happy with Pedro to cover me off with Chelsea. But Morgan Rodgers is probably my England bias, but it's also what Jules was saying about the way he could play in that Chelsea team. And the fact that, if reports are correct, or obviously Arsenal were interested and he's chosen to go to Chelsea, that makes me think he knows what his position is going to be in the team. He's excited by it. And yeah, so I've got a lot of decisions to make. We all have, but probably me more than most, I think it's safe to say. Sam wrote on the script here, who are the locks in your teams? Well, for me, no one.
How else have you got any?
You don't have
Haaland.
Any. Yeah, they're all literally
Bruno,
on board time.
Probably. Yeah. I hope they're enjoying their time in my team, because they're not going to be there long. Who are the locks in yours? You got locks, or are you as indecisive? No one's got locks.
Yeah, exactly. Your team will change, as we said. I mean, I think United, among the top clubs, United are the only one who have played yet, friendly, and they lost to Wrexham, and they played a team with Barzagli and Dorgu. The rest was very young. And obviously, since then, they signed players like Youri Tielemans. So I think it's there's still plenty of time and plenty of things that we will learn between now, even us, the next show. And even between now and people start actually doing their draft for their team, there's still plenty of time to go. So make sure you keep an eye on all of that. But I think there's a lot of interesting players that we all picked that will probably still be there before game week 1.
Oh, let's not make anyone feel bad. Hopefully I've made everyone feel better. No one's really got locks at this stage. Don't worry if you're as confused as me. I'm hoping that I'm representing a lot of the population, but there's probably
people listening. You're more like Sam and I than like your Kelly Summers, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, well, hopefully I'm providing hope to people that they will get themselves sorted by the first deadline. Because don't worry, guys, there's quite a long time to go. Let's leave it there, because we've waffled on for long enough. It's been great to be back with you. We'll be back a few times between now and the start of the season, which is probably good news for me because it'll help my team out. So yeah, we'll be back in August with the next instalment. And before you know it, the season will be here. So yeah, don't mean to scare you, but I'm scared. As always, I would recommend checking out all the articles on fantasy.premierleague.com to check out more about those rule changes, especially if I didn't explain it very well. Keep an eye across pre-season, and of course, anything you miss, I'm sure our resident football expert Jules will keep us up to date. But have a great few weeks. Don't stress too much, guys, and we'll see you next time.